You know, we were looking for some job gains this morning from the ADP, the private sector employment gauge. We got some, but we got very little. Most of the street was looking for 1.5 million jobs. We got 167,000. Yeah, they came back and revised upward the June figure dramatically, but it raises worries that this turnaround is going to be a little more muted than expected. Rob Kaplan, the president and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, and watches such things and joins us now. It's good to have you with us.
Hi, David.
Good to talk to you. Yeah, it's good to talk to you. Is this thing slowing down?
Yeah. Since mid-June, all the high-frequency data, other data I look at, suggests that the recovery is still going on, but it's more muted than it was, and that coincides with the resurgence in the virus. People's mobility is less, and as a result of the resurgence, we would expect growth slowed. And probably you're going to have a little less growth in employment than we would have had. And I think I don't know what the numbers are going to turn out to be Friday, but we're seeing some slowing.
The debate's on in Congress right now with the White House about the next stimulus program. The latest information is the Republicans and Democrats have found some common ground, but we don't have one yet. How important is that?
Well, the extension of the unemployment benefits is very important. Doesn't need to be in the same form it currently is. It could be restructured. But when you've got 17 million people out of work and another several million who are working part-time but would like to work full-time and need income support, these unemployment benefits are critical to maintaining incomes. And so that's number one. Number two, state and local governments need to balance their budgets, and they all have big income holes from the second quarter, and they're going to need to make cutbacks at a time when we're asking them to do more on fighting the virus, reopening schools, and that takes money. But most of the state and local governments I talk to are looking at cutbacks if they don't get some relief. So those are two examples of things that are very important as we continue to work through this pandemic.
Well, they're worried about their own money. Municipalities have seen, money from property taxes not getting paid,
yeah,
and sales tax revenues are down. I mean, they've got
their
own problems.
They do. They got very little tax revenue in the second quarter, or they had big declines, but they've got to balance their budgets. They don't have that. That's not an option. And so most mayors I'm talking to, governors I'm talking to, are telling me they are working on cutbacks, and you really don't want state and local governments to be doing cutbacks while you're trying to climb out of this big hole in GDP. And we need to grow, and we need to grow faster. So we need to fight the virus, and the state and local governments are critical to that.
Well, and school districts, I mean, those are
yeah,
separate entities, and they've got the same problems. Is there money to help out the municipalities and the school districts?
Well, it's going to have to come. So it's going to have to come from the federal government. So, I work on a program for the Fed nationwide where we make sure that state and local governments have access to lending. They can borrow this municipal finance program. But what they really need is not to be able to borrow more. They need grants. They need to fill in this big income hole they have, or they're going to need to make cutbacks to balance their budgets.
I wasn't enjoying talking to you because you're in a unique position. You know monetary policy from your current position, and you really know markets from your time at Goldman Sachs. So I'm looking at a market right now. I've got gold at a historic high. It keeps going up. Interest rates, I thought, had just found a floor, and they keep going down, and money keeps pouring into inflation anticipation bonds.
Yeah.
Well, what's the marketplace telling me?
Well, because we have not done as well in managing the virus, and in particular, we haven't done as well as other countries have, you're seeing more weakness in the dollar than you might as a result. And in addition, the longer this virus is with us and the slower we grow, it means more unemployment benefits. And so more federal government spending needs to happen. And we've got very large deficits. And I had thought before the crisis that the pace of government debt to GDP was unsustainable. Now it's more unsustainable, and so I think what you're seeing is a concern with these building deficits, increases in the size of the Federal Reserve balance sheet, and what is the likely impact of all that on the dollar, on future growth, and all you're seeing all that play out in the markets.
We're going to have low interest rates for a very long time, aren't we?
Well, I think we're going to have very low interest rates for at least the next couple of years. If inflation stays low, then yes, I think we are likely to have lower rates for even longer. And at the moment, and in the near term, there's no prospect of higher inflation. But you worry that if you get more dollar weakness, does that create some inflationary pressure over the horizon, and particularly once we get back to closer to full employment? But yes, in the medium term, rates are going to stay low, at least for the next couple of years.
One of the things I want to ask you about, one of the things we talked about several months ago, you all initiated a Main Street lending program. I think it was like $600 right. billion. Dollars.
Right.
But that never really got started, did it?
Well, it got started. Here's the issue. There were two lending programs. One was the PPP, famously the PPP, which had very substantial take-up, but it was a loan that turned into a grant if the small business retained, you know, a substantial number of their employees. The Main Street program, on the other hand, is a straight lending program, and there are credit conditions on that program in that while it's a $600 billion program, it's structured so that the losses are manageable. You know, there's a multiple of EBITD, there's credit conditions. The bank has to hold 5% of the loan. So the issue is, what's the intersection of companies that haven't already gone to their banks for a loan and still need a loan, and that versus a loan the bank wants to make and for an acceptable credit? I think if you were a strong credit, you already went to the bank before Main Street ever got started. Yeah. And if you're a weaker credit, you may not qualify for Main Street because you don't meet the credit conditions. And so the intersection of all these constraints means there's been less take up. I don't think that should be a shock. But the issue is, in order for it to get adjusted, there'd have to be a decision, which is not the Fed's to make. It's a decision by legislators and the Treasury. Do they want to accept more losses, loan losses, in the program?
Yeah, and overall, the message I'm hearing from you, correct me if I'm wrong, is that a lot of our future lies in the hands of pharmaceutical companies and testing that goes well, and also a Congress that acts swiftly. I mean, is the Fed out of bullets right now?
No, Fed's not out of bullets, but I would insert one thing in that. Actually, the future lies more in whether everyone who's listening to this and everyone in the country is willing to do their part and wear a mask. I will tell you that even if we get a vaccine at the end of this year, early next year, it's going to be some period of time before it's widely adopted. We're going to have to learn to live with and manage this virus in the meantime. And I don't mean just for the remainder of this year, probably in a good part into a good part of next year. And I'm convinced by talking to epidemiologists that if we had widespread mask wearing, we would substantially mute the transmission of this virus, particularly over the next 4 to 8 weeks, we would. And it wouldn't be like it was, but we can substantially improve our growth and reduce the unemployment rate. But mask wearing, for me, in addition to testing and contact tracing, are critical. We have got to focus not on waiting for a magic bullet. We have to focus on managing this virus now. And I'm convinced by talking to infectious disease experts and epidemiologists, we can. But it would take a widespread effort where we all wear masks, and I'm convinced that we could grow faster, people could reengage more in a whole range of activities that we're not currently doing, but the key is all of us wearing a mask.
Well, the downside is just probably too horrible to think about, is another national wave, and then you face the prospect of having to shut the economy down again. Can we handle that a second time?
I don't think we're going to do you might have localized need to do a shutdown, but no, we just saw the devastating effect of a lockdown. And oh, by the way, a lockdown disproportionately affects low-income workers, workers who cannot, low-skilled, who cannot work remotely. It disproportionately affects blacks and Hispanics. It disproportionately affects those populations that are least able to cope with that kind of downturn. So it increases wealth and income inequality. And so, no, I think I would rather see our focus managing this virus now and not not go from one extreme to the other, either a lockdown or a vaccine. We're going to have to learn to live with this and manage it. And I think we can, based on all the experts I've spoken with, but it's going to take leadership and a lot of coordination.
Rob Kaplan's president and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. Thank you for your time, and keep doing the good
work.
Thanks,
David.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
For more of our conversation with Mr. Kaplan, go to KRLD.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.